This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. And what a great day it is. Comes with one of the great careers in the history of American arts. Yep. And the history of American leadership. The career of Ronald Reagan in this very special show, What Was So Great About President Reagan? Music that we choose here and throughout this special show, not the music of Hail to the Chief, not the music of Ruffles and Flourishes, not the patriotic music that President Reagan heard a great deal when he was president, but music that characterized his favorite film when he was an actor in Hollywood. He made more than 50 films. King's Row, the music of which is featured right here, was his favorite among them. And it's appropriate because Reagan never apologized for being an actor, nor should he. He had an artistic temperament. As Peggy Noonan and other of his biographers have pointed out, he was somebody who was interested in drawing, he was interested in writing, and he took acting enormously seriously. There's a very, very revealing story about President Reagan that Lou Cannon tells. Lou Cannon was the reporter who covered the Reagan governorship when he became governor of California more closely than anyone else, and he wrote two volumes on Reagan, both excellent. One of them is called Governor Reagan, His Rise to Power. And in that volume, Cannon, who came to the same conclusion that I have or anybody else who's looked at Reagan's movies, conclusion is the guy was good on screen. This nonsense about, oh, Reagan was a failed actor, he was second banana to a chimpanzee, we'll get to that one in a moment. It's all nonsense. Here is what Lou Cannon writes. He writes, Reagan's competence on the screen was rarely in dispute as long as he was viewed as just an actor. After he became a conservative spokesman and a candidate, some of those who disapproved of his political views also disparaged his acting. Such retrospective criticisms, Reagan told me, this is Lou Cannon in 1968, touch an exposed nerve. Reagan could accept most political attacks with equanimity, but he hadn't expected that his adversaries would also make fun of his films. His defensiveness on this score is understandable. Acting was not a phase of Reagan's life, but the essence of it. He spent 30 years of his life in Hollywood, and he did not cease being an actor when he left. When asked before he ran for office what kind of governor he would be, Reagan said, I don't know. I've never played a governor before. I remember, writes Lou Cannon, one particular interview in 1968, this is when he was already governor, late at night on a campaign plane when Reagan was returning home to Los Angeles after spending several days on the road campaigning for Republican candidates. Both of us had exhausted political subjects, and Reagan turned to stories about the days he had spent in Hollywood and what had happened there. I listened in fascination when suddenly Reagan, who was tired, interrupted one of his stories to scornfully denounce, quote, this New York Times kind of business of referring to me as a B-picture actor. He went on to list a long line of first-rate actors with whom he had appeared, often getting better reviews than they did. No one referred to them as B-picture actors, he said, with an intensity they had never seen before. Then he calmed down, paused, and almost shyly added, I'm proud of having been an actor. And with some reason, I have my own little experience like this. I appeared on The Tonight Show many years ago. It was in the 80s, while Reagan was president. And as a film critic, a lot of people would always try to get me into this business of making fun of Ronald Reagan, always the worst actor ever. We should have nominated him in Golden Turkey Awards for the worst actor in Hollywood history. And I just never saw it. I mean, even before, actually, I supported Reagan when he ran for president in 1980. But the point was, it just never seemed to me that this was fair at all. And I particularly defended Bedtime for Bonzo. Bedtime for Bonzo is a very funny movie where Reagan does a great job playing alongside a chimpanzee. And that's not easy to do, to keep your composure. And I appeared on The Tonight Show one night. I was talking about a book that I'd written called Hollywood Hall of Shame. And then the director of the show, Freddie DeCordova, who's a director, executive producer, big shot on The Tonight Show at the time with Johnny Carson, came up to me and said, I never met you before, but I want to thank you for defending Bonzo. I said, excuse me? It turns out Freddie DeCordova, who then went on to work for The Tonight Show, was the director of Reagan's very funny movie, Bedtime for Bonzo. But Reagan was not just somebody who was proud of what he did on screen. He liked the entire Hollywood community. His best friends were actors. His closest friends, perhaps ever, were actors William Holden and Robert Taylor. He lost it completely. He broke up completely when he spoke at Robert Taylor's funeral. These were people with whom he was close, and he also grew close to another actor that he met in a fine movie called Brother Rat about the Virginia Military Institute. He met there an actress named Jane Wyman. And Jane Wyman was, when they first met, not as far along in her career as Reagan was. She then later went on to much greater success than he achieved. She won the Academy Award playing a deaf-mute girl in a movie called Johnny Belinda, but that was after they had already broken up. They married. They had a daughter, Maureen. They adopted a son, Mike Reagan, my colleague in the world of talk radio today. And the marriage between Jane Wyman and Ronnie Reagan was considered an all-American perfect marriage. Jane Wyman, interestingly, was a devout Catholic, and apparently later in life she began going to Mass every single day. She was pert, blonde, sexy, enormously talented and bright. She had been married twice before she married Ronald Reagan. He, of course, assumed the marriage would be forever. But in part, the marriage blew apart because Reagan became obsessed with something else. He became obsessed with union politics. After he came back from the war, the Hollywood community was torn apart by strikes and attempts by a very determined and organized group of communists to basically influence and take over the film industry and to use the unions to do it. And Reagan was appalled at this. He was elected president of the Screen Actors Guild in 1947. And then he was reelected four times in a row after that. He was elected five times. And then after that, they brought him back in 59 to be president of the Guild to help them to lead a strike, a successful strike, against the studios. He was hugely popular among his fellow actors as somebody who could walk the line between the left. He was a New Deal liberal. He was an admirer of FDR. But he was definitely not a communist, and he was very much put off with the communists. His role in the Screen Actors Guild clearly took away from his career, and a number of terrible things happened for him. In 1947, he and Jane Wyman, she had a baby. They had a baby who was born premature, several months premature, and then died shortly after the birth, which was devastating to both of them. Reagan also himself almost died. He had viral pneumonia. He was in the hospital. He was delirious. He was, in his delirium, imagining, for instance, that he was talking with Humphrey Bogart, arguing over the part in Casablanca. He had originally been cast as the lead, as Rick in Casablanca with Ann Sheridan, but then they bumped it up at Warner Brothers from Ann Sheridan and Ronald Reagan to Ingrid Bergman and Humphrey Bogart, and the rest is history. In any event, Reagan survived that. He survived a terrible injury that his son Ron still talks about today, which was devastating to his father, where he shattered his thigh in six pieces playing a studio softball game. And he even survived the end of his marriage. Jane Wyman started divorce proceedings in 1948 after all of these terrible things had happened, saying that she became frustrated with Reagan's emotional detachment until, quote, finally there was nothing in common between us. Reagan himself commented, maybe I should have let someone else save the world and save my own home, as Jane Wyman walked out of his life with the two kids. So he was left single, but it was actually also through the Screen Actors Guild, which had been so much a big part of his life, that he met the true love of his life, Nancy Davis, who was a young actress who was terribly worried in 1951. She had read an article in a Hollywood newspaper that listed her as a communist sympathizer. And so who do you talk to? She was not a communist sympathizer. She came from a conservative home. Her stepfather was a prominent surgeon and a Republican. And she was emphatically not a communist. So she went to the president of the Screen Actors Guild. She asked for a personal meeting with him. Apparently, there were people who said, well, Ronald Reagan is so busy, he's the president of the Guild. She wanted to meet him personally because she had heard he was single, and, well, he was Ronald Reagan. they hit it off almost immediately. And, of course, their love story became one of the inspiring love stories of the century. As this special show continues, what was so great about President Reagan? Will socialism or free markets decide the future direction of Washington State? Washington Policy Center stands for free markets and market-based solutions. But we can't do it alone. Hear from the acclaimed CEO of Whole Foods and free market champion John Mackey, who calls capitalism the greatest thing humanity ever accomplished. And join him October 1st at the Bellevue Hyatt Regency. Tickets and information at WPCDinner.com. That's WPCDinner.com. Introducing MedHead Plus, where you get all the benefits of regular MedHead members, plus you get access to anything in our MedVed History Store downloaded for free. Existing MedHead members can upgrade to MedHead Plus with a cost of only $79 per year. And for the next 30 days, new members can also join for $79 a year. MedHead Plus, get it all. Go to michaelmedved.com, find out about the new sale right now on MedHead Plus membership.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280 and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Blue Star Medicated Ointment gets 5-star reviews from our loyal users for fast relief of the pain and itch of almost any skin irritation.
Blue Star soothes insect bites and fungal infections.
It really works on the summer rashes I get every year.
I had psoriasis on my elbows. Blue Star worked wonders.
Amazing stuff. Smear a bit on and the itch is gone.
Look for the white box with the Blue Star in the first aid section. Feel Blue Star work fast or your money back.
Minutes after the hour on this special edition of the Michael Medved Show, a tribute to President Reagan called What Was So Great About President Reagan. We will be joined a little bit later on by President Reagan's son, Ron Reagan, with his own recollections of his father. Talking about President Reagan's role as a five-time president of the Screen Actors Guild, and still a legendary president of the Screen Actors Guild. My brother, Harry Medved, worked for 11 years for Screen Actors Guild. He did not overlap with President Reagan. It was much later. But even people who hated President Reagan's politics, who were not Republicans, who were not conservatives, acknowledged that when it came to leading the screen actors in a difficult time in the industry, Reagan was remarkable because he stood up to people. He could talk to anybody. He didn't lose his temper. He didn't make enemies. And he had a real ability to get people to focus and to bring people together. One of the things about him in terms of dealing with what was a real communist menace in the entertainment industry was he wrote, looking back on those experiences after World War II when there was a communist presence in Hollywood, he says, "I was all for kicking communists out of Hollywood, but some members of the House Un-American Activities Committee, ignoring standards of truth and fair play, ganged up on innocent people and tried to blacklist them." He mentioned here his close friend Jimmy Cagney and Humphrey Bogart, with whom he worked at Warner Brothers and he admired greatly. And he says other good Americans were falsely accused. Reagan himself went to testify as a friendly witness before the House Un-American Activities Committee. He swore in. He took an oath. And while he was taking an oath, testifying under oath, he indicated that Hollywood was taking care of itself and didn't need or welcome intrusion by the federal government. Reagan always had some questions about the power of the federal government. He said in his testimony, 99% of us are pretty well aware of what is going on, and I think we have done a pretty good job in our business of keeping these people's activities curtailed. I do not believe the communists have ever at any time been able to use the motion picture screen as a sounding board for their philosophy or ideology. He also opposed blacklists. He certainly, when people were revealed as communists, he wanted them to be publicly revealed. But the idea of a studio blacklist where there'd be a secret list of people who couldn't work as a union president, that was something that he never supported. But there is no question that he moved to the right in those days, and he became active in Democrats for Eisenhower. He had grown up as a Democrat. His father, Jack Reagan, was very much a Democrat. His father, Jack Reagan, even had a job back in Dixon, Illinois, handing out welfare during the New Deal because his father had a tough time keeping the family together. And Reagan greatly admired Franklin Roosevelt, particularly admired his leadership in foreign affairs. But after he came home from the war, he moved progressively into the Republican camp. He was active with Democrats for Eisenhower in 52 and 56. He campaigned for Richard Nixon over John Kennedy in 1960. But then the real turning point for Reagan came as his movie career was winding down. And his movie career was winding down partially because of his age, partially because of changing fashions, partially because he was identified as a star from a certain bygone era. And he did get fine jobs on TV. He got a great job with the General Electric Theater, where he was a corporate spokesman for General Electric. He hosted their anthology show, which it lasted for 8 years. Half of those 8 years, it was one of the top 20 shows on network television, so it was very successful. He was a very successful TV star, not quite a has-been actor. But while he was with General Electric Theater, he also became very deeply involved with the Barry Goldwater campaign, and he started campaigning all over the country for Barry Goldwater, a choice not an echo, the first real conservative to get the Republican nomination for President of the United States. And here, there were some people who were so impressed with Reagan's campaign speech for Barry Goldwater that they actually paid money, invested money, to have Reagan deliver the speech to a live audience. It was called The Speech. He wrote every word of it himself. And then it was broadcast October 27th on the eve of the election in 1964. And all of a sudden it changed American politics. This is part of what Ronald Reagan had to say.
If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. And this idea that government is beholden to the people, that it has no other source of power except the sovereign people, is still the newest and the most unique idea in all the long history of man's relation to man. This is the issue of this election. Whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves. You and I are told increasingly we have to choose between a left or right. Well, I'd like to suggest there is no such thing as a left or right. There's only an up or down. Man's old age dream, the ultimate in individual freedom consistent with law and order, or down to the ant heap of totalitarianism. And regardless of their sincerity, their humanitarian motives, those who would trade our freedom for security have embarked on this downward course.
These are inspiring words. And again, imagine a popular actor delivering those words on national TV. President Reagan, not yet President Reagan, just then actor Ronald Reagan, host of GE Theater, continued.
We have so many people who can't see a fat man standing beside a thin one without coming to the conclusion the fat man got that way by taking advantage of the thin one. So they're going to solve all the problems of human misery through government and government planning. Well, now, if government planning and welfare had the answer, and they've had almost 30 years of it, shouldn't we expect government to read the score to us once in a while? Shouldn't they be telling us about the decline each year in the number of people needing help? The reduction in the need for public housing? But the reverse is true. Each year, the need grows greater. The program grows greater. We were told 4 years ago that 17 million people went to bed hungry each night. Well, that was probably true. They were all on a diet.
Okay, he continued, and those words still have impact today.
Alexander Hamilton said, a nation which can prefer disgrace to danger is prepared for a master and deserves one. Now, let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war, but there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this, but every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement. And this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face, that their policy of accommodation is appeasement. And it gives no choice between peace and war, only between fight or surrender.
These words are just as relevant today as they were then, as is the conclusion by Ronald Reagan.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
All of a sudden, people heard this speech. They heard it around the country. No, it didn't win the election for Goldwater. Goldwater lost in a landslide. But it got people to look at Ronald Reagan as a new voice in American politics who needed to transition from his television work on General Electric Theater on the 20 Mule Team Borax, the Death Valley days, where he was representing 20 Mule Team Borax, to transit into active politics and to change the course of American history. What was so great about President Reagan continues.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
75% of adults in the United States have now received at least one COVID-19 vaccine dose. The CDC updating the vaccination rate on Tuesday, adding that just over 64% of adults are fully vaccinated against the virus. The State Department continues to work on evacuating American citizens and Afghan allies who helped the United States in the war in Afghanistan. Ohio Republican Congressman Jim Jordan criticizes President Biden for not doing more to get Americans out of the country.
You don't go vacation in Delaware. You don't go campaign for Gavin Newsom next week. You focus on the fact that there are still Americans left behind in Afghanistan, and that should be the number one focus of this administration.
That audio courtesy of Fox News, the number of Americans stranded in Afghanistan remains unclear. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, y'all, Jeff Foxworthy here. Now, if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know, because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires. Which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Minutes after the hour on the Michael Medved Show, special edition of the Michael Medved Show, a tribute to President Ronald Reagan, entitled, What Was So Great About President Reagan? A lot of people are confused about the transition that Reagan made from his work as an actor to running for governor of California the first time. It was not like Arnold Schwarzenegger, where he went on The Tonight Show and all of a sudden announced, oh, gosh, I'm running for governor. Reagan had been making the transition into politics for a long time. He had been politically involved, obviously, as he was a very popular, powerful, successful president of the Screen Actors Guild. When he represented General Electric, he came to a parting the ways with General Electric, at least according to some sources, because he had been critical of the Tennessee Valley Authority, a huge government boondoggle, or liberals believe a huge government benefit to people. In any event, it was a big, big government New Deal program. He was critical of it in one of the speeches he gave around the country. It turned out that GE, his employer, got a lot of money in TVA contracts, and that was considered not the right thing to do. In any event, he had met people in factories all around the country. There were more than 130 GE factories around the country at that time, and Reagan was responsible for going out and speaking to all of them and meeting ordinary working people and listening to their concerns. And he spoke everywhere. Nobody wrote speeches for them. He wrote his own speeches on little 3x5 cards that he would then shuffle and arrange in different ways. And it all came together with the speech, as it was referred to, the great speech he gave on behalf of Barry Goldwater that was telecast, and then it was broadcast again because the response was so overwhelming. And all of a sudden, people were looking at this very likable, very popular actor, Ronald Reagan, and saying, well, wait a minute, obviously this guy has a political future. His daughter, Patty Reagan, didn't find it somehow shocking or disconcerting when all of a sudden he began to shift his main focus from acting to politics. She said that that's why this whole thing about the shift into politics, that it happened suddenly, I never saw it as sudden. And I don't think my brother would have thought it was sudden either. Actually, Ron Reagan was too young. He was 6 years old at the time that the speech was delivered. All they talked about at home, at the kitchen table, when they were driving together, when they were doing horseback riding together, was politics, as long as Patty Reagan could remember. This was a factor in Ronald Reagan's life. He had also become friends with a number of people who were active in Republican politics and who wanted very much to see him get into politics. The obvious race for him to make was for governor of California. And from the beginning, the people who wanted Reagan to run for governor of California very clearly understood that if he won that particular race, he would be an instant presidential possibility. The problem was the sitting governor of California was a guy named Pat Brown, who had a huge reputation as a giant killer. Now, today the name Pat Brown doesn't mean much of anything. He's the father of the now Attorney General of California, Jerry Brown, and part of a California political dynasty. But in 1966, Pat Brown was known as a giant killer. He had run for governor the first time in 1958 against a senator, U.S. Senator William Noland, who was the Senate minority leader who was planning to run for president. And Pat Brown just wiped him out, killed him, because Pat Brown was sort of earnest, unpretentious, had working class appeal. And then in 1962, he ran against a guy named Richard Nixon for governor of California. And again, Brown won in a landslide, which helped to drive Nixon out of politics, so everybody thought, until Nixon came back after he lost that race and ran for president in 68. But in any event, in 66, Pat Brown looked very formidable. The problem was things were going wrong in the state of California, and a lot of people could see it. The state had been very proud of the university system. The University of California at Berkeley, UCLA, and the other new campuses that Pat Brown had helped to build, which were very expensive and the state was proud of, but they had the free speech movement at Berkeley where the students were suddenly disrupting things. There were riots in Watts. And generally, there was a sense that the California dream was going wrong. Reagan understood this differently from the way leftists did. He suggested that there was a prairie fire. There was a feeling of unrest, of unease throughout the country and throughout the state of California. In the campaign, Pat Brown made a mistake. At one point, he even ran a TV ad that said, "Remember, it was an actor who shot Lincoln, John Wilkes Booth," trying to associate Ronald Reagan with all his likability with the assassin for Abraham Lincoln was a mistake. It was also a mistake when Brown dismissed him as a dummy actor. Reagan addressed that by not giving formal speeches in most places, just going around and doing questions and answers. He won in a landslide. He became governor of the Golden State, and then parlayed that into one of the most consequential presidencies in American history, which we'll talk about in this special show, What's So Great About President Reagan?
This is Michael Medved at michaelmedved.com for Town Hall. A study at England's University of Sussex warns those who snack while watching television or playing video games are more likely to overeat, greatly increasing risks of obesity. You're less likely to be able to tell how full you feel, Professor Martin Yeomans explained. You're more likely to keep snacking. This is important for anyone wanting to stay a healthy weight. Well, the conclusions of the study might seem obvious, but still convey an important message about the hours we lavish on screens, including our obsession with social media. Few people feel satisfied after just a few minutes of screen time. Social and entertainment media are deliberately designed to encourage you to keep watching, to keep clicking, to always yearn for more. Nothing in our screen engagement promotes feelings of contentment or fullness. Perpetual hunger characterizes most addictions, including our often thoughtless indulgence in all forms of media diversion. I'm Michael Medved.
After the hour on the special edition of the Michael Medved Show. Hail to the chief. Well, not quite yet. Reagan was elected governor of California in 1966. He won by a landslide, and the expectations of a lot of people in California is he would be some kind of right-wing radical. I remember at the time, my parents, who were very much Democrats at the time, were terrified of what Governor Reagan would bring. After all, he was just an actor. He turned out to be a hugely successful governor, was reelected in a landslide 4 years later, and worked surprisingly well with the Democrats who continued to dominate the state legislature. They actually took a disastrous state budget deficit. Reagan came in as governor in much the same way Schwarzenegger did, where the state finances had been wrecked. Governor Brown had been keeping it a secret, and he had to turn things around. He cut back the growth in government spending. Welfare was reformed. He made one big mistake, as he saw it, which was signing a liberalized abortion bill. But even that liberalized abortion bill, which he signed in 1967, despite the fact that Reagan was always consistently pro-life in his proclamations, even that bill didn't go nearly as far as Roe v. Wade. What was wrong with that bill, as he found out, was that many of the women were making abusive use of the provision in the bill that allowed for the health of the mother to be included. With Reagan as governor, he could have gone for a third term. He decided not to because he was interested in the presidency. He left the governorship in 1974 and planned to challenge Gerald Ford for president of the United States. Ford had become president and continued what Reagan did not care for, which was a detente foreign policy, not confronting the Soviet Union, not confronting communism, and not moving in the direction of reducing government, which he cared about with all his heart. The challenge to Gerald Ford, a sitting president in 1976, was done despite the fact that overwhelmingly the Republican Party establishment did not want to see Reagan in the White House. He lost the New Hampshire primary by just 1,500 votes and then lost primary after primary after primary. His campaigning dried up, but then he turned it around in North Carolina. The whole story of the campaign of 76 was hugely exciting. It was the last time that a nomination was decided at the convention. It was decided with the Mississippi delegation. Had Reagan done better with the Mississippi delegation, he could have been the nominee, unseating an incumbent president. But then would he have lost to Jimmy Carter, as Gerald Ford ended up losing? He might have.
This is the Michael Medved Show.
I've had several knee injuries on my left knee, and so over time, stiffness set in with a great deal of pain. So I went ahead and ordered the starter packet, and after about 2 weeks, I started noticing results. And after they were gone and I reordered, let's say 6 weeks in, my pain was virtually gone. But the big bonus was that the stiffness was also virtually gone. And so, therefore, my problem with my left hip also went away. I'm very happy I decided to try it and will continue to use it.
You can get a 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That's 95 cents a day. What a good investment. Nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. You can go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor. That's michaelmedved.com, banner for Relief Factor, or call 833 toll free 654 pain, 833 654 pain. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Millions of Americans are preparing for food shortages. No wonder, with increasing bizarre news headlines, water shortages, and the trucking crisis, we're seeing the early warning signs. Food shortages can happen overnight, catching you completely by surprise. That's why it makes good sense to secure some emergency food kits while you can. Emergency food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage, unlike grocery store food that goes bad fast. The company to trust is My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families in recent years. Our food kits give you over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs under stress to survive. We ship fast and discreet to your door. You'll have your food within days, too, not weeks or months. Our mission is your survival. Our food could definitely be a lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. So don't wait. It's time to act. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
This is the Michael Medved Show.
Reagan handled his loss in 76, his loss of the pursuit of the nomination, with so much grace that he was the obvious front runner, despite his age, in 1980. Now, his age was a serious factor. He was going to be turning 70 just weeks after being inaugurated if he won the election. And yet, the winning of the election became much more likely, given the kind of America that we had under Jimmy Carter. I mean, please listen to this. It is totally shocking. We had 12% inflation rate under Jimmy Carter, over 8% unemployment, interest rates of 21%. For those of you who are homeowners, think about that for a moment. This was the misery index under Jimmy Carter. Plus, in Jimmy Carter's last year as president, the Sandinistas took over in Nicaragua. The Iranian militants under Ayatollah Khomeini took over in Iran and seized 52 hostages at the American embassy. And the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan. I mean, things couldn't be much worse, and that was the point that Reagan made in running against Jimmy Carter. He was elected in a landslide. He brought with him a Republican Senate. And then I know that when people look back on the Reagan presidency, they often think of it, oh my goodness, he turned the economy around, he lowered taxes, and yes, he did. His tax cuts were so substantial, he reduced the top tax rate from 70% to 50%. Across the board, 25% tax cuts. Reagan's first formal act as president, January 29, 1981, signing legislation as a day of thanksgiving to honor our safely returned hostages. Because the Iranians, as soon as Reagan came in, they said, you know, we're not going to mess with this guy. He's a crazy cowboy. Let's bring those hostages home. Then on March 30th, right after he had become president, he's working on trying to get his radical reforms, tax reforms, and budget reforms through Congress, and he's shot outside a Washington hotel by John Hinckley. And he was much more seriously injured than people realized at the time. The bullet missed his heart by less than an inch, and it was Providence that spared him. August 3rd, 1981, air traffic controllers, PATCO, go on strike. Reagan gives them 48 hours to return to work and fires those who don't. To give you a little bit more perspective on what was going on, 1982, nearly a million people joined together in a demonstration in Central Park in New York City. More people than demonstrated against Reagan. They're demonstrating for a nuclear freeze. than even demonstrate against President Bush. October 28th, the Soviet Premier Leonid Brezhnev condemns the U.S. for its arms buildup. November 2nd, in congressional elections, this is his first congressional elections, Democrats win 26 seats in the House. Republicans managed to hold on in the Senate. And it continued. January, 83, Reagan's approval rating in the midst of a recession plummets to 35%, like President Bush. January 31st, Reagan submits his fiscal 84 budget to Congress, $189 billion deficit. A combination of the recession, tax cuts, and an increase in defense spending are to blame. Advisors urge Reagan to either raise taxes or cut defense. Reagan rejects the advice and vows to stay the course. January 20th, 84, Secretary of State Charles Schultz designates Iran as a sponsor of international terrorism. February 9th, poll shows 38% approve of Reagan's foreign policy, 49% disapprove. April 16th, and this is a re-election year, Reagan signs directive for aggressive posture to terrorism. The new policy is set forth in a document officially designated National Security Decision Directive 138. August 11th, 1984. During a check prior to a radio broadcast, Reagan jokes into the mic that he's ordered the USSR bombed. My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes. This caused a big dip in the polls and briefly made the election close. Well, the election didn't end up close. Reagan won in a landslide. He took 49 out of 50 states. Now, how could it be with all this bad news that I'm talking about? Character counts. The American people knew what Reagan stood for, what he wanted, and who he was. We'll conclude with this section of what made President Reagan so great. Come on.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
The marvelous Ellen Burstyn plays an aging widow who reluctantly agrees to relocate to a senior living facility, but finds that its social scene is dominated by a group of tough customers known as Queen Bees, now playing in theaters and available for rent on various streaming services.
Saving seats, clicks. They're like Mean Girls, but with medical alert bracelets.
Well, the reference to Queen Bees isn't to the buzz variety, it's to the B-word variety. Nicely played by Anne Margaret, Jane Curtin, and Loretta Devine. James Caan and Christopher Lloyd provide some romantic interest for the Bees, and there are some moments of sympathy and tenderness. But for the most part, the humor feels forced and the plot contrived. It's rated PG-13 for an abundance of off-color references with these sex-obsessed characters. Yeah, really. Still, the gifted 80-something cast is a saving grace. 2.5 stars for Queen Bees.
After the hour on the Michael Medved Show, under President Reagan, the economy turned around. Reaganomics worked. Supply-side economics worked while cutting tax rates across the board and then reducing the complexity of the tax system in 1986. All of this Reagan achieved while revenue actually went up because the economy boomed. Unemployment was cut nearly in half. Inflation was cut by two-thirds, the rate of inflation. Interest rates were cut by more than two-thirds. The nation entered the biggest peacetime expansion, 7 solid years in history. And President Reagan did it. Was the deficit a problem? Sure, it was a problem. Was the failure to deal with Social Security the way that President Reagan wanted to a problem? Sure, it was a problem. Was Iran-Contra a problem? Yes, it was, but one important thing to remember about that is this whole scandal did not involve people taking money for their own good. What it involved was people trying to fight communism in Central America, where we were ultimately successful and we got free elections in Nicaragua and got rid of the communists in Nicaragua. It was to fight communism in Central America while trying to use the Iranians to liberate American hostages who were being slaughtered in Beirut. One of the things that's striking reading about the Reagan presidency is how much of it he was dealing with Islamo-Nazi terror and dealing with it as forcefully as he knew how, bombing Libya when it was appropriate after Americans had been murdered. But what was it that allowed President Reagan to endure terrible ill health, to endure an assassination attempt and a bullet in his chest, to endure two different incidents of colon surgery. His wife Nancy had a mastectomy while they were in the White House. These were people who handled it all with gallantry and with optimism and with faith in God. One of the things that people say about President Reagan is he was always praying. He would not pray on his knees, but very often he would go to the back of a plane and just wave off his aides because he would be lost in prayer. He would pray sitting someplace. He prayed almost constantly. And one of the points that Peggy Noonan makes in her excellent book about President Reagan, the book is called When Character Was King, is that the true measure of this man was his character. She says that she has met many, many people who knew President Reagan or had some interaction with him, but she simply could not find an anecdote that reflected badly on him. If you want to, she wrote, you can bump into someone with a Reagan story just about anywhere you go. He's lived a long time and he's led many lives, but what has surprised and even astonished me is that the stories are almost invariably about his graciousness, generosity, good humor. I'm still searching for an anecdote about Reagan that truly reflects badly on him. When I talk to or read the works of people in politics, entertainment, or journalism who didn't admire or agree with him, they will, if they get going, tell you Reagan was lazy or naive or a bore. But they never say he was low or unkind or dishonest or untrustworthy. I think his character is the least criticized of any great political leader of the century. True greatness for this greatest nation on God's green earth.
This is Michael Medved at michaelmedved.com for Town Hall. Angry protesters want to turn public sentiment against the police, but their ugly tactics remind all sane observers how much we need the cops. Rioting, looting, arson, Molotov cocktails, graffiti, and vandalism show how vulnerable all citizens would be without the courage of police officers who put their lives on the line every day. Sure, you can find examples of bad or poorly trained cops, but they're far more rare in police ranks than are violent criminal elements in the ranks of the demonstrators. In a difficult moment, a time when Americans can't decide whether to emphasize economic recovery or continued precautions against COVID-19, the nationwide rioting harms both hopes. Literally, thousands of already struggling businesses have been badly damaged, while assembling super spreader, densely packed crowds will only generate new spikes in the spread of the virus. No wonder most Americans love and value our police officers, without whom decent lives and livable cities could not exist. I'm Michael Medved.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer, it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer, Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer, excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.